Welcome to In His Footsteps with award-winning author Margaret Agard, sharing practical tips for living a joy-filled life and amazing interviews with people who do. Now here's Margaret.
Today you're going to be hearing from a few people who tried a prayer adventure. I know three prayers that God always answers, and I asked them to try this one. Help me to see this person who irritates me the way you see him or her, God. I could hardly wait to find out what they had to report, and it turns out their experiences were all over the place. Wait till you hear what they have to say. It's going to be fun.
Now here's this week's Bible question and answer, brought to you by the Amazing Bible Timeline. Quickly see 6,000 years of Bible and world history together on one color-coded wall poster. Find out more about the Amazing Bible Timeline or ask your own Bible question at AmazingBibleTimeline.com.
Here's the Bible question this week. We have a cross hanging on our wall, and it has the same letters I've seen on crosses all over the world many times before. But what do they stand for? Above his head, they read I-N-R-I. The I-N-R-I stands for the Latin Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iudorum Deorum. Huh. Forgetting my high school Latin, I'll just give you a little bit of a clue here. I actually did take Latin in high school because I thought I might go to medical school, but it turned out I didn't like Latin and had no intention of going to medical school. So you got all the Latin I know, and that means Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You know, what's interesting is they use an I. Actually, there was no J in the English language until the 16th century. And the first time a J was used in print was in 1634. That's a little aside there about J's. Here's another, by the way. That was the charge the Sanhedrin, or Jewish leaders, took Jesus to Pontius Pilate for, that he claimed to be king of the Jews. And some people believe that the fact that Pontius Pilate refused to change the inscription to read, he said he was king of the Jews, rather than he was king of the Jews, implies Pilate believed Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. True or not, I-N-R-I stands for the Latin words for Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Okay, now it's time for this week's adventure in growing spiritually. You know, what's the point of saying we're trying to grow spiritually or we want to grow closer to Christ if nothing about our behavior and our attitudes is changing? Okay, so a little background on this prayer. Help me to see this person who frustrates or irritates or hurts me as you see him or her, God. It actually is from the New Testament. You know, a lot of people, when you ask them what's their favorite part of the Bible, they'll repeat what Christ said when asked what was the greatest commandments under the law. And they say, you know, love the Lord thy God with all their heart and mind. But they skip that part and just go right to this one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's an Old Testament law. That's the old law. That's in Leviticus 19:18. The new law was given by Christ to his disciples just before he died in John 13:34. And in John 13:34, he said, love one another. This new commandment I give unto you, love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John 13:34. Well, good luck with that one. That was always my attitude. How in the world are we supposed to love people the way God loves them? And then I realized I don't have to do that on my own. You know, Paul, okay, this is a little, you know how people who are just getting married love to do that Corinthians thing, you know, and charity is long, kind and long-suffering and patient and, you know, thinks not of yourself. And, okay, I'm paraphrasing all the way through. But after they get married, I always want to go up to them and say, great, now the long-suffering starts. Because nobody's perfect. So that means that person you just married is going to do things to irritate you just like you're going to do things to irritate him or her. And you need to just be willing to suffer. Let it go and be patient and kind and loving anyway. But then in Ephesians, Paul also tells us what the fruits of the Spirit are. And guess what? They're almost exactly the same as his list of what charity is. So, here's this background story. It's in my book, In His Footsteps. Love to share stories from that book with you. And I had a son who was 15, and he was the most obnoxious, irritating kid, which I've shared on here before. And so one day I was praying and asking, what do I do about this? And the answer I got was, pray to ask to see him and understand him the way I do. And I had an extraordinary experience through a magazine article in which I did see, I mean, he still could be obnoxious and irritating and, but there was another side of him, and that's what I saw. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask some people to try that right now. And I asked my neighbors in the hall, are Sharon and Brian, and then I talked to a woman, Jennifer. She's a young mom, has, you know, kids in grade school, still at home, to share with me their experiences of trying this prayer. Here's what happened. We're going to start with Sharon, and before we bring Sharon on, I just want to give you the background to the story, because Sharon just started telling me the story, assuming I already knew the background, which is true, so I'll tell you the background. Sharon has a garden spot right in front of her home. It's huge. And then right next door, a great aunt owns the property. And the great aunt has always let Sharon and her husband put a garden there. Well, Sharon and her husband are becoming more and more disabled. And so in order to get over to this second garden spot, Sharon's husband has had to drive his four-wheeler over there. And a couple of times he drove it over the aunt's lawn. The aunt doesn't live there. And anyway, a few months ago or a month ago, the aunt said to Sharon, I'm not going to let you use that garden spot anymore. Now, Sharon had heard that her aunt didn't like them to drive on the four-wheeler, so her husband had stopped driving the four-wheeler over there and just walked into the garden. So she didn't understand why her aunt was acting like that, but she was pretty sure it had something to do with the lawn. And I said to Sharon when she told me this, well, do you really need that garden spot? It seems like you get plenty out of your other garden spot. And she said, no, I don't need it. And it's actually a lot of work for us. But, you know, it's the idea of it that her aunt would decide they couldn't use it anymore. When I asked Sharon if she would pray this prayer about someone, she didn't tell me who she'd chosen, but this is what she had to say.
For the good of... It was over the garden. Us losing the garden over there.
Oh, yes.
And yes. I was highly upset. So I prayed about it. And I couldn't get over the urge to call her.
Oh, that's perfect. That's exactly how God works. Okay.
Well, but in my mind, I was calling her to be hateful.
Okay.
I was going to call her and thank her, you know, so her taking our garden from us I would thank her for doing that, and it would, you know, make her.
So you were going to be sarcastic.
Yes.
Okay.
But it all turned around.
What happened?
She said, well, Sharon, she said, I thought, and she said, I prayed about it.
Oh.
She said, but I could not watch you and Dale and Judy and Olus struggle trying to keep that garden up and work in that when none of the four of you are able. She said, so I just won't let you do it anymore.
Oh, Sharon. So it wasn't about the grass at all.
No. Not at all. She did say, she said, Dale could not get over there unless he rode the four-wheeler. And she said, then he couldn't do nothing. He had to supervise somebody else. And she said, it was, she said, I couldn't watch it any longer.
She had a good heart.
So we talked a long time, and we hadn't talked that much probably in 20 years.
Oh, Sharon, I'm so happy. Do you feel better now?
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about her?
Fine. Fine. No animosity, just, you know, everything is good. I feel much better. Yeah.
Isn't that just the way it is? We think we know why people are doing something and we're pretty upset, and it turns out that's not why they were doing it at all. But I'll tell you what, if Sharon hadn't prayed and then followed through on the thought she had to call under the influence of that prayer, she never would have found this out. Well, now let's listen in on what happened with Brian. It's that prayer, help me to see this person as you, God, see him. Would you be willing to do that?
I do that every day as a professional bus driver. The children I have who are loud and irritating and trash the floor, so I have to look at them also from the standpoint of their parents, not only just from the standpoint of God, but I have to eliminate myself as an irritated bus driver and see them from another point of view.
How does it work?
It works well for them. Well, and then I focus on down the road.
Yeah.
The rules have to be dealt with, the children have to be dealt with, but I have to deal with them, you know, in more of a way from other people's point of views, not from my angry point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look back and see, you know, what's really the cause of the problem, and how much it can be. But sometimes you can get one singled out that's doing the same thing five others are doing, but that one bothers you more than the other five.
Yeah, that's the one.
So you have to weigh it out and make sure it's fair, to treat them all fair.
Okay, so I still want you to try it.
Okay.
Because you're doing that yourself without God's help. Like, you're thinking it through and thinking, this is how I need to think about it. And so what my experience was, and I'm thinking you'll have the same one, is you actually do suddenly see them in a different way. And so I want you to pick that one that irritates you the most and just say, will you, God, help me to see this child? You don't have to even explain anything more as you see him or her. Would you do that?
I would.
Okay. Okay. We've got Brian's commitment. Now let's see if there was any change at all.
Yeah, I study it every day. Yeah, I'll put that right out there.
But so far, what?
Well, do you have any questions in particular?
Sometimes people have a result that they suddenly see a new facet of the person. They start to actually, there's something they like about the person. And some people, not a thing. More like an understanding of why they act the way they do. And for some people, no change at all. So what happened? Anything?
Okay, with me, I'm just looking that there might be something in the future.
Okay.
I'm seeing a great white hope that someday, maybe only one moment in this person's life, that there might be some glory. My thoughts are, you know, does God see this particular person very much in the light, or is it at this point, are there certain rules, you know, that I go by from my study and reading regarding the children, is in believing that God especially loves children, because you're told, instructed not to harm a child and not to despise thy youth.
True.
This particular person is a child.
Right.
And so they qualify a lot differently because they have their life ahead of them. Now, I haven't done anything because in my profession, I couldn't talk religion in a public school system anyway.
Well, that's true.
So.
But.
So I'm just innocently, I study people. I think we all do that.
Yeah.
In the public. But I just wonder, you know, what the, more or less in the future, I know pretty what the circumstances are now and the child's lack of education and discipline.
Yeah. So there's, your thought has been more, God isn't finished with him yet.
And maybe hasn't started yet.
Maybe hasn't started.
But I've given it a lot more hopeful and more positive outlook, knowing there might be a reason, and who knows.
Yeah.
But it's easier to love people that you normally would like to despise, knowing that God has a plan.
Well, there is a small shift in Brian's attitude from seeing this child as basically a waste of air. And the shift on Brian's part was from just an irritating person to a child that God might have a plan for. As I remember, when my son was 15 and I started praying that prayer, help me to see this young man as you do, Heavenly Father, it was a couple of weeks before I had a complete change of attitude towards him. Brian only had a few days. But I appreciate anyone who's willing to take this on and try it. And I would love to hear from you. Before we talk to the next person, I'll just put out there that if you want to try it and let me know about it, I would love to hear from you. You can send me a letter at P.O. Box 173, Duck, West Virginia, 25063. Or, and again, you'll hear that address at the end, or P.O. Box 173, 25063, Duck, West Virginia. Or go on the website, inhisfootsteps.com, and leave a comment on the blog. Okay, now we're going to check in with our mom of young children, Jennifer.
Yeah, I was going to try it tonight because I emailed you and said I would. And there's a person that, I don't know, has been a struggle for our entire family to deal with her. And so I was like, well, maybe I should be praying about her. To understand her.
To understand her like God does.
I've been thinking about her today and kind of like, you know, I haven't had like a formal on my knees prayer, but I've been, you know, since I had said I would do it, I've been, you know, bringing her to mind a lot today and trying to kind of think about it a little bit. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
But yeah, no, I don't mind doing it.
All right. So, when you've prayed this prayer before, what's happened?
Think about the person. I just see their side, like, a little voice will almost be in the back of my head, and I'll remember why I acted a certain way in a certain situation and realize that's probably what's influencing their behavior, or even just remember something from their life that, you know what, they went through that, so imagine how you would if you had been through that experience. Like, that sort of stuff has been usually what happens in the past, and I've tried to, you know.
Well, that's good.
I don't know if that makes sense. It's like I can be more empathetic. I have more empathy for them. I don't know if that's really seeing them as God sees them, but I do seem to be more empathetic when I'm willing to kind of pray about it and see the other side. So,
I always give God the credit for that. After all, I did just pray, and now I'm seeing it differently. Let's check back. What actually happened? Did Jen go ahead and pray? Did you do that prayer?
Yes.
How'd it go?
I can't say that I really feel like I've gotten an answer for the one person I was praying for. And to be quite honest, while I did the prayer, later, actually right before you called, in fact, I thought it was my friend calling back. I had a call from a very good friend that moved to Arizona that we've been friends with for a long time, calling to say that her husband was thinking of divorcing her, and she was asking us to fast and pray. So my focus, quite honestly, got unfocused.
Yeah.
Because I've spent the last 4 days worrying about them because they've been really good. You know, we never, like, totally out of the blue. We're like, what? You know, they're members of the church. Their kids are older. You know, they have, like, one still at home, and the rest are grown. And I'm like, what? You guys have been married, like, 20-some years, and everything seems hunky-dory. And
oh.
Then trying to understand him a little bit, I guess, would be, you know, like what his motivation is. And,
yeah.
You know, of course my brain immediately went to, oh, he's met somebody else, you know. She's
right.
Like, he swore he didn't meet anybody else. I'm like, oh, they always swear they didn't meet anybody else. Like, I've had three, I didn't tell her this, but in the back of my head, I'm thinking, yeah, I've had three other friends who told them, the very same thing. And then as soon as they, you know, the divorce was final, they moved in with somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because they don't want to say it.
But I don't know. Yeah. Michael, yeah. I don't know if that's it anymore because, you know, as I said, I've kind of tried to pray about, as I was praying about that, and I guess it goes along with the prayer you're saying, You know, Michael's like, because, you know, Michael and him were very close. Like, I would say he was better friends with him than I was with the wife. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like my husband's best friend, basically. And he's like, that doesn't seem like him. And I'm like, I know it doesn't, but really, what else could it be? And then they, maybe this was that result of that prayer, because the only other I think of is if he's just, like, depressed. You know, because sometimes with men, weird things happen when they get, like, depressed, like real, like, clinical depression, you know?
That's right.
And that's what Michael's like. Michael said, that's what I think it is. Maybe that was the Lord trying to let me see, because they actually had a teenage son that died in a car accident a couple of years ago. So maybe it just has all finally, and they've had some financial setbacks and, you know?
Yes.
So.
Just piling up.
And yeah, so I'm like, you know, men react strangely to that, I guess, sometimes. I don't know. She's like, if Michael doesn't mind calling to see if he brings it up, and he didn't, and so then Michael didn't bring it up. You know
right.
what I mean? They just chatted about other stuff.
Right.
So
I bet Michael thinks he thinks he is depressed, or...
I mean, that's our best guess. I really don't know. I hope it works out. It's very hard. But I did say the prayer, but I don't know. You know how it is with any prayer? You have to be, like, open to promptings. And I think even though I was saying that, my mind was more focused the whole time on this issue.
Yes. Yeah.
So I never felt like I got an answer about that person that I was praying about. Like, I'm like, I still don't understand them, but I don't know if I'm in the right place to understand them right now. You know what I mean?
Like, right. But you felt like there was some understanding for...
There was more understanding for my son's husband, you know, because like I said, immediately my brain went to that CAD, you know.
Yes.
But then as I discussed it more with Michael and fasted and prayed that, I mean, we're still very worried.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. Like, we didn't get the greatest. I said, I just am not getting a very reassuring feeling during this fast, and that frustrates me, you know. You know, but.
Yeah.
I think he's in a very dark place, and, you know, she even said that, his wife. She said, like, you can... I keep trying to tell him this is not, because he's telling her he is praying about it, and that the message he's getting is that they need to get a divorce. And she's like, God would not be telling you that, honey. And he's like, well, he is. I don't know if I'm going to be very helpful to your radio show. I don't know. I
know.
Feel badly, but.
No, the answer is the answer. So.
Yeah.
You don't want to pretend it's something other than what it is, but. Okay.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I really, like I said, the one that I've been trying to figure out, I've never felt like, I mean, me logically, but it doesn't really feel like an answer in the spirit can go, well, you know, she didn't have a very stable home life when she was growing up, and she probably viewed this type of manipulative behavior with what she saw, and so she would have to give her the benefit of the doubt that, you know, this is a cycle she needs to break. You're far from perfect, and it's just going to be her thing. So... But that's all more like just me. Like, I can sit there and do all that, analyze.
Yeah, the answers I've got have usually been, here's a new facet to their personality you're overlooking. Like, yeah,
exactly.
All this other stuff is going on, but here's some redeeming qualities.
That's how I've felt before, like in the past, and I'm trying to think of specific examples, but exactly, it's like I really start to kind of like the person, you know?
Right, your heart
even if
changes.
They annoy me. Like, there's at least a part of them that I like.
Phew! There was quite a bit of information there. All right, so what did we learn from three people trying this prayer? With Sharon, she actually understood her great aunt better and realized her great aunt was doing what she was doing out of love rather than a desire to be hateful. What Sharon didn't share in this conversation, but she shared earlier, was that she actually spent all day ignoring the thought that she should call that aunt. Every time she thought she should call her, she'd say in her heart, no, I'm not going to, until finally the Lord made it so clear and wouldn't let up that she did make the call. And we learned from Brian that sometimes the change is simply that God lets us get a bigger view of what's going on in that person's life and of God's plan for that person, so that Brian was able to not use just his own heart and his own thoughts for seeing this young man, but was also able to use God's idea and God's view of what's going on down here on the earth in individual people's lives. We have 70 years here for a reason, and what a person is doing at 15 isn't necessarily what they're going to be doing at 70. And then finally, we saw with Jennifer that God will increase our compassion and will help us understand people in another way. Although she has had the experience in the past of coming to like something about a person, her prayer for this particular person wasn't completely focused because she was focused on another situation. And to be fair, I had asked her to pray that prayer. It wasn't coming to her from God. She had another prayer to pray that day. There you have it. Three people with three different results to the same prayer, but one overarching result, which is that they were all happier and less frustrated and less irritated. That's what it comes down to. We, by following the gospel of Jesus Christ, end up happier. And really, which is happier for you? To be dealing with people who irritate and frustrate you, or to be dealing with people who you either like or have some compassion and empathy for and can see God in? I'm going to bring out a point here that the Sermon on the Mount is not talking about different people. It's talking about one person going through the stages of spiritual growth. And one of those spiritual growth is to begin to see God in everyone and everything around you. And that's what this prayer helps us to do. Help me to see this person as you see or understand him or her, God, and help me to love him the way you do. And the next two prayers I'm going to share with you on this adventure in joy have to do with the next step, which is becoming a peacemaker. Here's the two prayers, and in the upcoming show, I'll share with you how I learned them. But what I'm going to ask you to do right now is to consider trying them and then letting me know how well they work for you. Okay, so the first prayer you could try is, help me to see this person as you see him or her, God. And the next two prayers are when you're in the middle of a frustrating experience. Let's say you have just had the same argument you've been having with your spouse for the last 20 years, and you're upset. Okay, take a minute by yourself and just ask God in prayer this question. Is it me? Is it something I'm doing? Now, I'm pretty sure you're going to be sure the answer's no, but you might be surprised. Then here's the other prayer. Let's say you're in the middle of a conversation with someone and it's going down the same rut it's always gone down, and you've tried all these different ways of responding. And you're stuck. You honestly don't know what to say. And so you silently ask in your heart, what can I do now, God? What else could I say? Okay, those are the three prayers, three of the prayers, there's actually more, that I know God always answers. Those two prayers will help you become the peacemaker you're intended to be. If you'll do those things, let me know how they work for you. I'd love to hear. You can either send me a letter at P.O. Box 173, Duck, West Virginia 25063, or go onto the website inhisfootsteps.com and leave a comment there.
You can find out more about how to have the joy that comes from living each day for God while still keeping up with daily life in the book, In His Footsteps, How to Be Happy in Every Situation, available at the website inhisfootsteps.com or online at amazon.com.
You can get more information on our guests and our discussion today, including replays of this show, at inhisfootsteps.com. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Margaret Agard. You can reach me at P.O. Box 173, Duck, West Virginia 25063, or through my website, inhisfootsteps.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Be sure to join us next week for more practical tips on living a God-directed life and amazing interviews with people who do.